Welcome to the sixth episode of the Traveling Family Podcast. I'm Keith.
And I'm Amanda, his wife.
And director and editor and all the things. Producer of this podcast.
All the things.
Do you want to talk about the new setup?
I mean, they can't really see anything. But we're back to recording podcasts after a short delay because my old equipment was full and we could no longer do anything with it. So I now have some new equipment.
All right. So back to...
Is that what you wanted me to talk about?
I don't know. I just thought you might want to mention why we've been away.
Yes. Data was full.
So hopefully we've got... And now a computer that can handle all of the data from these podcasts. Yep. But today's episode is going to be really fun. As promised, we're going to take a look around Epcot Center, which is her favorite Disney World park.
It is. I love Epcot. I've always loved Epcot. Even when I was a kid, I really enjoyed Epcot. I'm just always been mature, probably.
That's exactly right.
People used to tell me I was wise beyond my years or more mature for my age than most. Yeah. So
I particularly like Epcot just for the history, getting to know a little bit more about the countries through World Showcase. And so with that, Epcot's busted up into two different lands. You have World Showcase and Future World.
Yeah.
And then within Future World,
for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see I have a sweet little Epcot map over my shoulder.
Yep. And Future World has a couple of different areas to it, the land, the seas.
Yeah, different pavilions and things like that.
Although Future World right now, and we'll talk about a little bit as we go through, is under some major, major construction.
Yeah. Yeah. I look at Epcot as a full day park.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I think you could kind of make it a half day park if you only had a few things you were really interested in, but there's a lot. I feel like there's more to discover in Epcot than any other park. Maybe I just haven't given other parks enough time.
Probably more things that you don't realize that are there. I would agree with that. I think Magic Kingdom has a ton to discover, and we'll kind of get into that.
But it is kind of in your face.
But it's in your face. Well, it's what we know, right? Like, that's when we really think of Disney World, you think of Cinderella's Castle. But the next icon that you really truly think about is Spaceship Earth, the big giant ball of Epcot.
Yeah, or the golf ball, as our daughter calls it.
Or the golf ball.
Soccer ball, actually, I think she called it. Yep. I used to think it was the golf ball. So in this episode, like we've done in the previous few, we're going to walk you through our experiences from our 2019 trip and our experiences from our 2020 trip. So two of our most recent trips, and kind of give you our experiences. At some point, we may go in and talk more factual about the parks, but really in this podcast, we're really just going to be kind of sharing with you our experience, what we did, what we loved, what we would pass on next time, that sort of thing. So jumping right in, our 2019 trip was in conjunction with the Run Marathon, Run Disney. So it was January of 2019. And it was a blast because we both got to, and I got to more, I did the 10K that time, and I got to run through a number of the countries around World Showcase, which was awesome. And then I got to run kind of out the entrance past Spaceship Earth, the big ball. So it was really cool. I don't know. You said you didn't run nearly as much, but you ran the half marathon. You ran more in the Magic Kingdom, which I didn't even run in at all.
Yeah, I did the half. Starting part was Epcot's parking lot. We finished up back at Epcot, got to run through some of the back lot stuff, which is kind of interesting to see some of the back lot of Epcot there. But also ran up past Spaceship Earth right in front there as you'd enter the park on that side of it. Yeah. So extremely, I mean, Run Disney, we'll do a whole podcast on Run Disney. Yeah, it's we love it. It's so much fun.
We're in the midst of a virtual series right now, virtual 5K challenge. So we've got 3 5Ks we're running this summer. We've done one of them. We're about to do the other one in Disney World, or the next one, I should say, in Disney World, which is awesome. But not to get too off track. So back to our 2019 trip. We started off, both of us were able on two different days to run through the park before the park opens, which is really cool. But we were there with, again, my parents and our daughter, who was two at the time, almost three. So on this trip, it was really about managing the expectation of a two-year-old and making sure that we weren't overexerting ourselves or trying to do too much and then just completely melting down.
Yeah. Also, though, making sure that we were doing things that would keep her attention, right? Like that she had interest in or would be excited about. And that was kind of the challenge, so to speak, as we talked about with A Bug's Life back in Animal Kingdom, thinking that this would be a great thing for her. And that would be, but ended up not being something. So we did in Epcot, we were really struggling a little bit because, again, she was 2 years old. So we wanted to make sure that we were doing things that she was going to enjoy. And at that time, she was really into Frozen and the princesses.
Yeah.
So perfect opportunity for us to do a character meal in Epcot there at Akershus. I hope I got that right.
I feel like you got it close enough for sure. It's in Norway. It's in the Norway Pavilion.
I am terrible at the enunciation of that restaurant. But that was the princess character breakfast.
Yes. And that was a highlight. It's not currently open. So as of the filming of this, which is June of 2021, they've not announced the reopening of this. For a while, it was one of the, what were they calling them? Rest stations, or when you can take off your mask,
comfort station. Yeah.
So it's no longer that, because Disney's removed majority of the mask requirements at this point, but they haven't announced the reopening of it yet. I would assume it'll be any day that they'll announce the reopening, because right now it feels like every day there is new information being released on different restaurants that are opening, resorts that are opening, or at least dates they're going to be opening. They just announced fireworks coming back on July 1st. So there's a lot of information rapidly changing. But back to 2019, pre-pandemic, this restaurant was a top for us. So when you're listening to this, if it's something that you can do, if you have somebody in your family that loves the princesses, if this comes back post pandemic, like it was prior, this is definitely a recommended restaurant.
Yeah. So it was a character, the princess character dinner or breakfast, and it was hosted by Belle. So as you walked into the restaurant, you got to meet Belle, go up and have your picture with her directly. Which was phenomenal. Our daughter, the previous Halloween, had actually dressed up as Belle.
Yeah, at the time it was her favorite princess. So that was fun to have her.
And that's Amanda's favorite princess.
I really like Beauty and the Beast. But back to the meal. So during the meal, then she got to meet five princesses. She got to meet Cinderella. She got to meet Aurora, Ariel, Snow White, and then Belle at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So those were the princesses she got to meet. They did a cute little parade around the restaurant. It was a lot of fun. It was a highlight. She loved it. She still loves looking back at the pictures from this. So I would strongly recommend this. And it's, again, in the Norway Pavilion, which when you walk into the World Showcase is going to be to your left. It's the second country into Epcot.
And special shout out to Snow White at that meal, because she answered all of our daughter's questions.
Very specific questions.
And you could imagine the questions being asked by a two-year-old, but she was really wanting to know where Rapunzel was. And she was informed that Rapunzel was over in the Magic Kingdom and where to find her. And it was just phenomenal at the time and effort that Snow White took to really just make our daughter feel special. So special shout out to Snow White at that meal.
Yeah, 2019, January.
Yeah.
So after we ate, we did not have a fast pass, which still aren't back.
Right.
But at the time, were a thing. Did not have a fast pass for Frozen Ever After, which is probably like the one of the top three most likely long lines in Epcot. So you probably want a fast pass if you want to ride Frozen Ever After without waiting in line quite a bit. But we left breakfast and I think the line was maybe a 40-minute wait or so. It was longer with a two-year-old, but we all five waited in line and rode it. And it was a great ride. Our daughter liked it quite a bit. Right away, spent most of our time in the Norway Pavilion on our 2019.
Also, we also had the meet and greet with Anna and Elsa, which was right there as well.
Yep.
And again, That's all we, I think we probably waited about 20, 30 minutes for that,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't terrible. But again, you can actually do fast passes when they return, if they return and however they return, but you can actually do fast passes for character meet and greets. I know it sounds funny, but when you do have a 2-year-old,
yeah,
it may be something that
that's all she wanted to do was meet him.
Yeah. Maybe something that you want to actually burn a fast pass on. I know it sounds funny, but
yeah, no, it doesn't. Not if you're trying to avoid lines and there's certain things, you know, your kids are going to like. So then after Norway, we left and went to Germany, and that was, Germany has always been one of my favorite countries. I have, of the 12 countries, I probably have 6 favorite. So you might hear me repetitively say this for different reasons, but I think the shopping in Germany is darling. They have the Christmas store, they have the beer store. There are proper names for them, and the true Disney diehards are definitely cringing as I refer to them. I think probably as the Christmas and the beer store, but it's what they are. And I'm not German. Actually, I'm very German.
Yeah, both of us have German heritage, but cannot enunciate, nor are we going to try tonight.
No, nope, so. I can do better in the Italian pavilion. But in Germany, we went through the shops. We let our daughter pick out kind of her first souvenir of the trip, which was a princess dress. So she really analyzed. She was debating between Snow White and Rapunzel. She was really going back and forth between those two. And at this point, she only had Belle as one of her dresses. So she already had Belle. She already owned Belle, which was her favorite princess at the time. But she was struggling between Rapunzel and Snow White. Well, she landed on Rapunzel. And I swear to you, the second this child put that Rapunzel dress on and the crown, all of a sudden, Epcot became her kingdom.
Yes.
Like she was now the queen of Epcot.
And she also got a scepter, I think, at that point in time as well.
Oh, did she? I don't remember. Yeah,
the Rapunzel thing that went along with the dress and everything else. So she was full blown.
You're right.
She had a crown. Now, we didn't buy like the tiara for Rapunzel. We just bought one of the cheaper crowns,
which I would strongly recommend. It's like this foam pink crown, and she wears it with every princess dress, and it's awesome. But it was in the same cute little shop that she got the dress at. So she gets the dress. She becomes queen of Epcot, and the rest is history. We walked over to the German miniature train village, which is so cool. Also in the German pavilion, there's this little train village. You've got to check it out. This is back to the discovering things in Epcot, I feel like. This is something that is just very fun to kind of look at and watch and look at all the details and the Imagineering on this little village. So that's also in the Germany pavilion. So we walked over there. She had a lot of fun over there, just looking at the trains going by and looking at the little village. As you can imagine, for a 2-year-old, it was pretty incredible. But I still think as an adult, as a 30-some-year-old, that it's also very incredible. So that was Germany. From there, we went basically over to France, which means we jumped quite a few of the countries. And this, I think, goes back to, again, we knew she wasn't going to be able to spend the entire day there without going back to the resort and getting some rest. When I mean our daughter.
I do think we popped into China.
We did. We actually did. We went through the store in China because I did buy the chopsticks that I have. So I have reusable.
Those or Japan?
Nope. I got those in China. Got those in China. So I grabbed the chopsticks in China. And then from there, we went on to France. And that's where they had the little artist point center set up. And we had our daughter's silhouette done. So that was really neat. And the thing that hasn't come back yet are employees.
The cast members from the different countries.
Thank you. We will take a quick break for our sponsor. And we'll be back here shortly. And we're back.
So you were talking about the artists and the cast members from the different countries.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that I think is really neat about Epcot is they bring in cast members from across the world, from the various countries throughout Epcot. So when I'm talking about the World Showcase and the countries, Epcot has 12 different countries that they have mini lands, if you will, modeled after. And there are various shopping and food and experiences and some rides and attractions, depending on the country, throughout. So you're going to be able to dabble in a little bit of everything. But one of the neat things is they have employees, or Disney calls them cast members, that are hired from these countries to work in the country. So it makes it very authentic. You can really have conversations and learn more about the countries. So in France, there was a little artist area, and they had individuals from France who were there doing silhouettes. And I'd always wanted to get a silhouette done of our daughter, so we had a silhouette done. But it's really neat, and I don't mean this to be rude at all, but the French are not known, and I definitely do not mean this to be rude to anyone that's listening from France. The French are known to be a little bit more blunt and maybe not as Midwestern friendly, so to speak, as we are used to. And so I remember when they were doing the silhouette thinking that they were a little brash, and that might be harsh because they were kind and it was a great experience, but they were definitely not your have a magical day type right. cast member. But it was really cool. I mean, they were super good at what they did and it was very enjoyable. So that's one of the things also I think why I appreciate Epcot is that maybe it's a little bit authentic in what is otherwise kind of an augmented reality.
Yeah,
that is Walt Disney World
for sure. I mean, I think that's what the beauty of the countries are, and having the cast members from the countries, you really get a, more of a feeling of what those countries are and the culture and for sure.
Which, without having to leave the United States, which not everyone has the ability or desire to do.
Correct. Couple things before we hop to kind of later in the day, because we actually did go back and take a little bit of a break during this day to kind of let our daughter rest. We did see Aurora out and about for a character meet and greet.
Yeah, she was near France, near the bridge.
So her and our daughter got into a dress twirling contest.
Yeah, I should see if I have any footage. Yeah. If I do, I'll insert it here for the YouTube version of this podcast.
But yeah, so that was really fun. And then we went to England and we actually got a lineage of our daughter's name from England.
Yeah.
Which was really cool because you can kind of get the lineage of some of your names and different some things. Some
of the meanings and whatnot. Yeah, that is actually one of the neatest things in the UK pavilion. But back to your point, you really have to kind of go into the shops and discover what they have available, because this is just a desk, a little desk area in the UK shop. And you can go through and you can do last names, first names, all sorts of names. Maybe we'll do it next time.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
For Fisher. That would be really cool.
For sure. So, but after that, that was kind of, we didn't really go into Future World at all on this trip.
No, we pretty much hung out in the World Showcase. You know, that's what my parents enjoyed. That's what I enjoyed. It was more up our daughter's alley. Although I should say, she probably would have enjoyed the Seas. And we still, to this day, haven't really spent time there. So hopefully on our next trip, we can spend a little bit of time there. But again, this goes back to you cannot do it all. You cannot do it all in one day at one park or in one trip. You just can't. And that's okay. You just accept that. If it's your one and only lifetime trip, that's great. Work with somebody who understands the parks and who can learn about your family's biggest must-dos. They'll help get you on track so that you can accomplish those things and you don't get sidetracked by everything else. So that's my biggest like word of advice, if you will. And I'll say it over and over again, is have realistic expectations. Don't try to do it all, but know what your must-dos are.
And don't be afraid to seek out help.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to, again, a travel agent, a travel planner, a Disney expert, a friend that went to Disney, whatever it is. Keep in mind with the friend that went to Disney, they may have different wants, desires, and needs than you. So just keep that in mind as you're planning your Disney trip.
Yeah. So,
so back to the 2019 trip.
And so after kind of England and kind of, we kind of got done exploring, we didn't really go into Canada, didn't go into the US, a couple others that we kind of skipped over.
Yeah.
And because we actually had dinner reservations later that night in Japan. Yes. So we didn't really go into the Japan pavilion at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But so we go back to our resort, which we were staying at Port Orleans Riverside at that time of the trip. Just went back and got some lunch, hung out in the room, just had some quiet time, a little bit of nap time.
Yep.
Changed and then got ready to go back to dinner. But we had changed and kind of gotten through soon enough that we actually decided to go to Magic Kingdom real quick.
Yeah, we had about a 2-hour gap before we needed to really be heading back to Epcot to go to our Tepaneto reservation. And so we went to the Magic Kingdom. We wanted to take the monorail because we weren't staying at a monorail resort. So we wanted to experience the monorail. So we took the monorail from Magic Kingdom back over to Epcot, which was really awesome that evening. But so we went and took our daughter to Magic Kingdom kind of on a random last minute whim for about an hour.
And we'll talk about that as
we talk about the Magic Kingdom. But we rode a couple rides and we got back on the monorail and we took the monorail back to Epcot for dinner. Are you laughing?
Well, because we're getting into dinner at Tepaneto's, which is great. It is hibachi style.
Yeah. This is a family tradition for us. So it was really awesome. This is something that I did at least twice. Actually, I think I ate there three times with my family growing up. So we went to Disney, I think three times in total, maybe four as a family growing up, but we always ate at Tepaneto, which is the hibachi. They cook in front of you. It's entertaining. It's in the Japan Pavilion. It's up on the second story. It's just, it's an experience, right? And it has good memories for me. And then to be there with my daughter and my parents was like, this was going to be the meal of meals. And she just walked in.
What did you think of
Tepaneto, the restaurant where they cooked in front of us at Walt Disney World?
No, yeah, she's shaking her head no because she got scared of the noise of the hood and everything else. So I had to walk around with her for most of the dinner until they were done cooking. And then we could come back and eat our food.
Yeah, it wasn't this beautiful dinner experience that I had in mind, but it was still an experience and something we'll always remember. And I'm sure eventually we'll go back. It was something we'll always remember. And she used chopsticks, which was kind of a neat thing from it.
So then we were going to watch fireworks, but at that time somebody was afraid of fireworks.
Yeah. And I think after the hood noise, I think she was just kind of on edge with extra loud noises.
And it was late. It was past what would be normal bedtime.
We're midway through the trip at this point. So there's a lot of stimulation that has gone on with various parks.
We go into the little market space in Japan. It's really, really cool. A lot of like Hello Kitty stuff, like the Japanese anime kind of designs on the characters and on the food and everything else. So we got her some special treats to kind of hopefully calm her down, which did work. But that's now kind of become a family tradition, I think, to go into that little Japan market space and pick up the little different treats and everything else.
Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorite things to do. And a fun little fact for you, I don't know, I'm going to butcher this a little bit. So if you're interested in this, you can Google, and there are people I'm sure that have written a bunch on this, but that is an actual department store, like a Nordstrom or a Dillard's or something like that, that you may be familiar, Macy's. It is one of the top department stores, if not the top department store or largest, I should say, from Japan. So it is it's an authentic department store from Japan, which I just think is so interesting. When I found that out, I was
very, very
not shocked.
Yeah, very, very cool.
But it's really neat. Again, just goes back to the immersive experience that Epcot is when it comes to Disney.
Yep. So that wrapped up our 2019 trip to Epcot Center. It was also a chilly day that day. So we were all kind of bundled up and everything else. And that just is what you get in January, kind of with the weather.
Yeah.
So next trip was in 2020, over Thanksgiving holiday. And we actually went, I think it was on Black Friday, I think we went. The day after Thanksgiving.
That sounds right. Yep. So at this time, the Skyliner had opened up. It was under construction in 2019 when we were there. We saw them building the bridge, but it was open by the time we went in 2020. And we loved staying at a Skyliner resort personally. So we stayed at the Skyliner resort and we were able to take the Skyliner over to Epcot. So we took the Skyliner over to Epcot and entered through the International Gateway, which, if you're looking on YouTube, I will kind of point it out on the map, but I'll try to do a good job of talking this through as well for those of you listening. So behind me, I've got the map of Epcot, and up at the front here in this yellow zone, you can see that's all like Future World, and the pink area back here is the World Showcase. So traditionally, when you ride a bus over or you drive, you're going to enter through the front of the park, which is where the soccer ball, the big Epcot ball is. And you'll enter through into Future World. Now, when you come in through the World Showcase, you come in through the International Gateway, which is into the World Showcase. You kind of come in the backside of Epcot, if you will, and it is between the UK Pavilion and the France Pavilion that you walk in. And so when we went and took the Skyliner there, we entered through the World Showcase. Also, if you're staying at any of the Epcot resorts or the Boardwalk resort area, you'll also enter through this World Showcase entrance or the International Gateway entrance. So we walk in and cross the bridge, get into the countries. UK is the first country, and we hear the noise that we're used to at this point, which indicates a cavalcade is coming, but we didn't know which one. And this time our daughter was super into Frozen. She had been Elsa for Halloween 2 years earlier, or a year and a half earlier, I should say. And she was so excited. And if I remember, I will insert the footage again. For those of you watching on YouTube, you'll see the footage. There, I think, is some good audio with it. So when, if you're listening on the podcast, you'll hear. But the park had not been super crowded because it was right after it opened. And we got to see Elsa go by, and her mind was just, it was the most adorable thing ever. Cavalcades, and in Epcot, I feel like you get to experience them in a different way because you're so much closer to them, in my opinion. Now, I think they're good in Magic Kingdom as well, but they're on boats in Animal Kingdom, so the characters are a little bit further away. And Hollywood Studios, we only saw one, and it was a little bit crowded and kind of the end of the trip, so I don't really have a lot of
comparison. Were in some cars and stuff there,
but Elsa was just walking down the street. Just walking down the street, which was so neat.
And our daughter was literally the only child
near
around.
Yeah.
Like, and so she's right there on the edge. And so she got a lot of personal, quote unquote, attention.
Yes.
As much as I think they can give.
It was neat. So the reason we were in the UK pavilion kind of wandering around segues back to what you were referring to. Right when you enter the International Gateway, before you really do get into the countries, there's a gift shop there. Mm-hmm. And if they're doing any of the scavenger hunts for any of the festivals, which Epcot has multiple festivals, if they're doing one of the scavenger hunts, which they usually do for children, you can pick up your scavenger hunt. I should have been more prepared and brought it up, but your scavenger hunt little pad where you can get your stickers at each country. So she was so excited to do the Olaf search for the Festival of the Holidays. So we had gone in, we paid, I think it was $7 for her to $8. It was probably actually seven and some change.
It was $7.99, but yeah.
So we grabbed this little sticker chart for her to search and hunt for Olaf in each of the countries. So that is what Keith was referring to a minute ago when he talked about how the first thing wasn't the cavalcade. First thing was actually we went to the shop
and bought this. And what was really cool was this was the opening day for the Festival of the Holidays,
which we didn't even realize when we booked. A very happy accident.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun because not only did they have the scavenger hunt for Olaf, who is different, doing different holiday traditions from each of the countries, and that's what you're looking for. But then they also had the gingerbread cookie passport. So there were different gingerbread cookies across all of the different countries. Not every country had one, but
there were five. I think the cookie stroll was five or six.
Yeah, cookie stroll, which was awesome. And then in World Showplace, which is kind of
Showcase.
Showcase.
World Showcase.
Sorry. World Showcase.
Showcase.
But isn't the big area called the show place? Like where they had all the different food. Oh, yeah,
the pavilion.
The pavilion, yeah.
Okay, you're right. It's on recording too.
Yeah.
Me saying you're right is now going to be out there for the world to hear.
That's fantastic. It's all I can ask for. I would take a bow, but anyway. So in World Showplace, they had all these different food booths set up, and they normally don't. I think they normally just have entertainment and a few other things going on during the festivals, but because of COVID and with restrictions and trying to spread people out and everything else, that they did have some entertainment going on, but there was a little gift shop in there specifically for the festival of the holidays, yeah, as well as all these different food booths, which was really fun. And that was also where the gingerbread.
Yeah, I will definitely insert a picture. If you are listening on Anchor, go to YouTube, fast forward to whatever minute you're at right now. Take a moment, look at your podcast and see what minute you are at, and go and look at this picture of the gingerbread house, because it is incredible.
The work, they did a rendering of the Capitol.
Yes. Like the whole entire Capitol.
Yeah. The Washington Mall there in DC. So it was really, really cool. Really, really well done. And this is kind of our only taste of the gingerbread houses and everything that they typically do around the holidays, because typically all the resorts will have different gingerbread houses and things made, well, because of, again,
2020. This is 2020. So yeah, there wasn't everything.
What we did get to see was extremely well done.
It was still, and it was
very, very cool. Ton of hidden Mickeys.
But yeah.
So we left World Showcase because we actually had lunch reservations at Garden Grill in the Land Pavilion.
And Garden Grill is a character meal.
Yep.
And it's in the Land Pavilion, which is in Future World. So toward the front of the park from your traditional bus and car entrance and monorail entrance and boat entrance, except if you take a boat from, and I'm getting off track. In Future World.
Yes. So
within the land pavilion,
you've got the Garden Grill restaurant. You also have the two rides. You have Soarin',
mm-hmm,
and you have Living with the Land.
Yes. Which Living with the Land is one of my favorite rides. It is a very low key boat ride. It's quite long, but it is so interesting to me. And
apparently it's lengthy enough that you might get hungry and try to jump off and grab a cucumber.
Oh gosh.
So I'm throwing in a little bit of, we did not do that.
No. If you are a big Disney fan and you are listening to this podcast, you know exactly what we're referring to. And if you are not, a couple weeks ago, an individual jumped off of one of the boats onto one of the platforms because then Living with the Land, the whole premise is you see a whole bunch of the food and whatnot that they are growing, and they use it in their restaurants in the Garden Grill where we ate. But this person jumped off and tried to pick a cucumber, and it is the funniest footage. So I'm sure it's out there on internet land. Yeah. You can go look it up, but that's what we're referring to. So we did the ride, and then part of the ride, you can see Garden Grill, and in Garden Grill, which is a rotating, very slow rotating restaurant, you can see parts of Living with the Land. So it's a really neat kind of coordination. If you've got reservations at Garden Grill, I would strongly recommend going on Living with the Land either before or after your reservation, because it all kind of ties in together. It's kind of neat. Before is cool because then when you're eating, you know some of the food has come from the greenhouses that you just took this little ride through.
And it was really cool for us. It was decorated for the holidays, so that was an even, mm-hmm, cooler experience to kind of see some of those holiday decorations within Living with the Land.
Yeah.
Then we went to Garden Grill for our lunch reservation.
Well, let's back up for just a quick second. So Garden Grill. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. No, never mind. Let's continue on with exactly what you were saying.
Okay.
I'm drinking around the world tonight.
Yeah, we're drinking around the world tonight.
I'm having my wine.
So we go to Garden Grill for our reservation, check in very smooth, get our table.
Yeah.
Sitting down again, character meals at this time are a little bit different just due to the COVID restrictions that were in place and still are for the character meals, at least as of this recording, where they're doing more of a distant, socially distanced or physically distant character meet and greets.
Yeah. So we still, though, think it was phenomenal the way the restaurant is set up. It's circular. So you had the ability for the interior circle to have the characters walking around. And then we were sitting on the lower circle and the characters would stop right by the table. It was super sweet. There were Chip and Dale.
Yep.
And then Mickey and Pluto.
Yep.
So those were the four characters at this meal. And we would strongly recommend Garden Grill. You're in air conditioning. It's a nice sit down, decent food. The food was very good. Family style. So they kind of pre-pick your meal and just bring it out. And it was very good.
And I can't complain. You get to see the characters a lot.
Yeah, because it's kind of a smaller restaurant.
Yeah.
They come around quite a few times. I think our daughter got to see them 3 or 4 times in our 1 hour or less meal that we had there. So it was really neat. So we enjoyed, highly recommend Garden Grill.
We left Garden Grill.
Stayed in Future World.
Yes. And we were heading over to Test Track.
We actually weren't heading to Test Track. No,
that's right.
You don't know where I'm going with this.
No, I don't. So go ahead.
So we didn't really know what we were going to do. Again, with no fast passes being in place, we weren't sure. We were just kind of winging it. We didn't have any other reservations that day. So we went and wandered back towards, I wanted to go back into the World Showcase with all the countries, but the Test Track is a ride in Future World. And it's quite a roller coaster ride, if you will, a fast thrill ride. And our daughter was super interested in it and she wanted to ride it. So we waited in a 60-minute line. This was the longest line that we waited in while we were in Disney, for sure. But we waited in line because she saw the exterior and she could see the cars zooming by and she really wanted to do it. So why not? She was tall enough.
For sure. And on our way there, this is the other thing too going on right now. Instead of doing stationed character meet and greets, as you typically would find at the parks, and there are designated areas that you go wait in line, go hug the characters, get their autograph. None of that is going on, but they have found places for distanced character pop-ups. Mm-hmm. And as we were walking over, we were able to see Winnie the Pooh and Joy from Inside Out. Yeah, so
hanging out in the land, in the grass. It was cute.
Cool. Yeah, very, very cool. So we were able to see them. We got on Test Track. Test Track has a tendency to sometimes have some malfunctions and it takes a little bit of time, and that kind of happened.
The line
to us
wouldn't have been an hour if it hadn't been. It shut down for probably a solid 15 minutes, I would say. It was shut down, but we waited in line, and it went back up and running. And so we were able to get on it and ride it. And I think our daughter loved it. It was a success. So then when we got off of it, it was probably, I'm going to say, early afternoon, maybe 2 o'clock or so, between 1 and 2, probably. Our reservation, I think, was an 11:30 or noon reservation. So we started walking back towards the World Showcase to go through the countries, because again, we had purchased the Olaf hunt, the Olaf holiday traditions hunt. So our daughter wanted to go through and find Olaf and doing all of the holiday traditions in the various countries. So now when you walk in, if you go to your left, you go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we went to the Mexico Pavilion and we actually waited in line again quite a while. This is probably the second longest line that we waited in just to get into the Mexico Pavilion, which, believe it or not, I think this was the 8th or 9th time I had been to Epcot, and I had never gone into the pyramid before.
Yeah, and I had never been
either.
I didn't
really realize, and I shouldn't say that, I might have been in the pyramid maybe one other time, but it was a long time before and I didn't recall it.
Yeah.
I was young.
So we go through, get into the pyramid, and there was the Grand Fiesta Tour, which is really the 3 Caballeros ride.
And our daughter watches this thanks to the recommendation from our neighbor who told us about it.
And not the original 3 Caballeros either, but the new one that they just remade here on Disney.
I'm laughing. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus.
Anyways, it's a Disney Plus thing, and our daughter loves it. And we told her it was about a ride, so we went on it.
Yep.
And it's another boat ride. Another boat ride in Disney World.
But we get to go through there. A lot of fun. Donald, Panchito, and Jose. We got to watch them.
You better know it. Yeah. You're wearing your Donald Duck T-shirt.
I don't have the Fiesta Donald though. I don't have the sombrero or anything else. Uh-huh. But so we go through there, we get to see San Angel Restaurant, which was a really cool...
Is it San Angel or San Angel?
I don't know. I would say
we're going to find out because we're going to eat there in like a week.
Yeah, but that kind of piqued our interest, which is now why we're going to go check it out.
Yeah, for the foodies, I don't think it's like a top-rated restaurant. No. I don't think it's a must-do experience, but it's so unique. It's eating inside the pyramid in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just mostly excited about the margaritas that I'm going to have access to while sitting at this restaurant.
Once we left there, though, we ended up jumping over to Germany to grab a snack. It was getting, you know, again, I think about by this time, about 4 o'clock or so. So we were able to stop and do the snack because with the festivals, every area has these little
food. Most areas have cool food, specialty festival food.
Yes.
So we waited in line and got a pretzel, which was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it written down, the name of the Christmas store in Germany. I'm not going to attempt. There's a special Christmas store in Germany, as I discussed it 20 minutes ago. But we went through the Christmas store, which was really neat. And then we moseyed on from Germany and made it to the American Adventure Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Voices of Liberty were performing at the time. And we were able to grab a seat and listen to them for a while, which was pretty special.
They were singing holiday carols. And it was a really, really cool experience. Grateful that we got to have that experience because at the time there wasn't a ton of performers in any of the parks.
Right.
Because
the American Adventure's an outdoor amphitheater, they were able to be performed. So that was really, really neat. So we sat there, we watched that for a while. We went over. At this point, it's now dusk, it's evening. Our daughter's definitely tired.
We were probably tired
and hungry. And we didn't have reservations. We didn't make any reservations for that evening because our big meal that day was, again, the Garden Grill character meal. So this goes to back to you don't necessarily have to have everything all planned out, but this is where it could have gotten real sideways because we were all hungry and we were all tired and we just wanted to sit down and eat. There wasn't. We tried to sit at Tepaneto, but there were no reservations available. So we discovered the counter service or fast food, if you will, restaurant in Japan, which is the Katsura, I think it's how you say it. Katsura Grill, which is a kind of a very neat setting. Like it's up, there was a patio that we were able to sit on outside.
Kind of like in the garden type setting, very peaceful, just really, really nice.
Yeah.
And the food was good.
Yep. The food was good. We can't complain about that. I have not had a lot of food I don't care for in Walt Disney World, to be really honest with you. Of course, you can have your kind of standard burgers and chicken nuggets and, you know, but there's a lot of food that you can discover in Disney. And I have yet to have a meal, knock on wood, that I didn't think was pretty solid. So we had a great dinner and then we kind of just ventured out from there.
Yeah, ventured back, made sure we knocked out the rest of the Olaf hunt.
Yep.
And then
you turned our card in.
Turn the card in and you get a little something special.
Souvenir cup was what it was that time.
Yep, we got a cup. Actually, I think they gave us cups.
Yeah, we did. Why did we end up with a couple cups?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But anyways, got a couple cups from our little Olaf hunt and
hit the Skyliner and headed back to the resort, which again, the Skyliner is awesome if you're staying at one of those resorts. Highly recommend, you know, even looking into staying at one of those resorts because of the Skyliner.
Yeah, I would too. And I will say, know yourself. I know there are people out there that would never in a million years get on the Skyliner. And I can relate to that. I'm afraid of heights in a way, in a very severe way, in a very severe specific situation, which potentially could be the Skyliner. But it's also extremely peaceful. to take the Skyliner. And when we were there, you were your only party in the Skyliner. Right now, I've seen kind of mixed messaging. They are putting multiple parties in the Skyliner, but I've seen mixed messaging on whether or not you can request your own Skyliner. So depending on the length of the line, probably, you know, if they're trying to get a lot of people back to the resorts, you're probably not going to be able to request your own, but you may be able to request your own Skyliner. And to me, that was huge.
Yeah. And I would also say, I don't know if there's air conditioning in there or not.
There's not.
Okay. So for us, this was November. The temperatures were not overly hot by any stretch. They're really, really comfortable and nice. And actually got a little chilly almost in it, which was great.
I did get chilly. You know, it's hilarious that you asked if there was air conditioning or not, because this is a big topic of conversation when those opened up, that there was no AC. And yeah. Remember when they opened up and they crashed immediately?
Yes.
And people were stranded for like 2 hours on them.
Yeah.
There was no AC and it was like the middle of summer, yeah. I think. So that was the issue with the Skyliners at the beginning, but it's fine now. It's fine. We like the Skyline. And if you have anything that you think we should be doing while we're in Epcot in a week, please comment below. Shoot us a message. We would love to hear what your favorite things to do in Epcot are. But for us, we're going to be there during the Flower and Garden Festival. So we're going to do the Spike the Bee. I think it's called the Pollination Hunt. So that is the equivalent to the Olaf scavenger hunt that we talked about. We'll be doing the Spike the Bee one with our daughter, or she'll be doing it. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing it. We'll both yes. be doing it. We'll all be doing it. We're going to try to ride Soarin', which, believe it or not, we've never ridden Soarin' before. So we're going to try to do that. I want to spend a little bit more time in that imagination area. One of my favorite memories as a child were the water fountains that had the little balls of water that threw up. I don't know
that they're doing that right now, because I think that's under construction for the new Moana.
No, I think they're doing it. Okay. I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Just don't crush my dreams.
We're going to
spend some time, as I noted, in the imagination area and see what's open right now. Yeah. And we'll report back here shortly. And then we're going to do the Epcot experience, which I'm very excited about. If you're going anytime soon, probably really interesting to sit through this Epcot experience, because they're kind of showing like a preview. They're under major construction right now in Epcot. Doesn't take away from the park at all, but just keep in mind, you'll see quite a few construction walls compared to what you usually see. And this, a lot of it is for the 50th anniversary that they're getting ready for. But with COVID, some of it could be definitely back delayed. So there is an Epcot experience that is really walking you through kind of the future of Future World and the future of Epcot. So it should be very interesting, informative, but in a Disney way. So interesting even still for the five-year-old that we'll have with us. And then we will do Spaceship Earth, because you said you've never ridden Spaceship Earth.
Never ridden Spaceship Earth.
Yes. So we will do Spaceship Earth. Also, Spaceship Earth is getting ready. I think we would know by now if it wasn't going to be open, but they're getting ready to do a major overhaul on Spaceship Earth. And initially they were talking about having it closed for like a year or two.
Yeah.
So we are definitely doing Spaceship Earth. That is a must do. And then we're going to eat, as we mentioned, in the Mexico Pavilion inside at the San Angel or San Angel, however you say it, the restaurant inside the Mexico Pavilion. We're going to watch fireworks. We're going to be in Epcot multiple times. I will just tell you that. And we are going to watch fireworks multiple nights. And we are so excited about the fireworks.
Yes.
So if you guys have anything that you think we need to do on the next trip that we are taking here in about a week, definitely comment below. Let us know your thoughts. If you're listening to this post trip, stay tuned for our kind of recap of the trip. We don't know for sure how we're going to break it down yet, because I'm sure we'll have a lot of content, but my guess is we'll do just kind of a quick and dirty overall summary of our most recent experience in Disney, our 2021 July trip. We'll talk about it quite a bit and then we can break it down from there.
Yeah. And again, comment, tell us if you want to see us do something or learn about something, let us know. Yeah. We're happy to kind of go.
We might explore. Go live while we're there. So make sure you're following us on Instagram. I am travel_with_Amanda. So travel with Amanda on Instagram. And then Magically Simple Travel as well. I'll probably be sharing majority of the content with Travel with Amanda. So keep in mind, there's an underscore between the with and the Amanda word for Instagram, but we'll also put some things on Magically Simple Travel. So make sure you guys are following us on those items, on those areas, and you can keep track of what we're doing when we're in Disney in a week.
Make sure if you're following us on YouTube here, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. Hit your notification bell so you know when new content comes out.
Yeah, because we are consistently inconsistent on content.
We're gonna try. We're now we've got a new setup. Now we've got the
equipment.
We're hoping to get a little bit back on more of a normal schedule here. But
yeah.
Thanks for bearing with us. And
we're so glad to have you here.
We'll see you next time when we travel into Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Next week. Will really be in like a few days because again we're behind on
time. Yeah. So
good night, good morning, good day. Bye.
See ya.